The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Home of the 9-3 Texans, Houston, Texas. And we're here for you. Lance is here till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9. We take you to Charlie Polillo. He'll be able to break it down. We're just going to buy time till we get to Charlie here on ESPN 97.5.
Raheel doesn't join us today.
What?
He's out.
Oh, that's right. He's gone for 3 days, isn't he? Oh, well, we won't miss him. By the way, you were off. Did you get any tweets while you were off?
Only 1,000 Hamburglar gifts and memes and pictures. Thanks,
what?
Del.
Do you think it was... What happened? Why,
Del, he invented Hamburglar.
Did you say something about hamburgers?
I never suggested anyone send Lance anything.
Yeah.
People decided on their own because that's they want true. To say good morning to you.
That's not true.
And it's funny.
So many Hamburglars. I didn't even know there were that many. There's more Hamburglar gifts than there are Ghetto Boy gifts. That's sad.
Well, it's odd for me because I was at Prime Social filling in for you. And then when I got back.
Did you win?
No, I don't play poker. But when I got back, you were in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So you just decided to take 2 hours off from work, right? Because even you just came in like at 9:30.
I just got to sleep.
Why would you do that?
I got to bed at about 1. What the time that night? Oh, no, that night. Yeah, we went out and I got in about 12:30. So I basically just got to wake up at about 7 and then just get ready and then come up here and work.
That's all you did?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I stayed out the night before a little bit and got no sleep. And then the night before that, 1:30, cutting the membrane off of a skirt steak and thawing it because I thought it had thawed since it had been in the refrigerator since Tuesday. But guess not. Memo to self. Go ahead and pull it out of a frozen skirt steak out of the refrigerator for, several hours because it will not thaw in a refrigerator, apparently. Not even after 3 days.
Hmm. It won't. So just for everybody. Well, since you're a master chef now.
Yep.
Y'all need to call me chef.
Yeah.
So tell us about you. So you took off of work on Friday and slept in. Okay.
Kind of.
Basically, that's all you did. And then you went and cooked on Saturday.
And I worked all day on Friday until 8:30 here. Then went and met my friends over at Aki and had a drink and ended up having some desserts over there. Then got home and I thought, all right, I'll prep my get my garlic sauce marinated skirt steak ready to go. I'll pull it out of the freezer. Oh, still pretty much frozen. Guess I have to stay up for about another hour while I put this in water. And thought so. I watched a new season of about 4 episodes of It's Always Sunny, and then I opened it up and I was like,
season?
Oh, I gotta.
How's the new season going?
It's good. It's always good.
Yeah.
And then I so I was up till 1:30, woke up at 5:50 because I had to get grilling because Chef Lance had to do his mm-hmm. thing. So I had to get the skirt steak pre-grilled, and then went up there and I worked at Fluff Bake Bar. And we had a line of 18 people out the door when we opened, so it was jammed up immediately. And I was working like a maniac for an hour and a half straight, just nonstop orders coming in for us to do. And that went really well. We sold that out, and then went and watched. Was combining football watching on a phone with drinking a lot of champagne and hitting different places around Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That ended at Rio Restaurant with Justin Verlander and Kate Upton were in there at a separate table. We sent him over a bottle of wine.
You did?
No. We can't even get dapped up. He goes, yeah, I'll definitely take that. He told the waitress, yeah, we'll accept their offer. We didn't get dapped up on the way out.
Nothing.
He's just like, shoo.
Not even a thanks for the wine?
Not even a thanks for the wine. Nothing. They just run out.
Without dapping.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He was at a table with the guy who he owns a local place. And then Jeff Bagwell was there separately.
Did the two
Tony Busby.
They
bro-hugged it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They bro-hugged it up.
Well, so you didn't bro-hug it with either of them?
No, I didn't bro-hug with
nothing.
Anybody. No, nobody. Well, with everybody where we were, we had like 10 people with us. So we're easily the loudest table in the place.
Oh, yeah.
Shots all night. Yeah.
Not with daddy's baby girl.
No.
No?
No, we weren't with the Brown man, whatever the Brown centers or whatever the guys. No, he was not there.
No, Bagwell's wife is.
That's not her, right?
That's her. Mrs. Brown.
He's on three.
This is number three.
This is three, right?
This is three. Yeah.
Erica's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she looked familiar.
Yeah. He got a handful of getting behind home plate one night.
That was her, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. He was there. We were a rather loud.
You were
rambunctious.
It's a great place, and no wonder.
It was a blast. Yeah.
Last week you'd have seen me there,
and last night
you'd have seen Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Saturday night
we will be seeing a viewing of the fight that we that was the restaurant where the fight went down. Yeah. They got the video. So we'll hit viewing of it.
Which was better, that one or Kareem Hunt's video?
Which one
do you think is better?
Well. You're going to have to put a definition of better on. Well, let's get to that in a little bit because that broke on Friday or Thursday?
Friday.
And Kareem Hunt's not in football any longer.
Am I a bad person, do you think? That's not why.
Let him finish.
Am I a bad person because I saw the Kareem Hunt video and immediately went to my fantasy football waiver wire and picked up Spencer Ware?
You are a bad team, but you are a bad person, but you're like every other fantasy owner. That's going to hurt my fantasy team.
Yeah.
It
didn't hurt mine. It helped mine.
And he punched a guy in Ohio.
It actually helped mine.
Oh, yeah.
I picked up Spencer Ware.
And now apparently there's something else that happened in Ohio at a resort where he punched a guy in the face. It's not going to go well for
him. He's facing at least six, and that's after.
They say this is this something exemption. he likes to do is mix it up physically with everybody.
What an idiot! How stupid can you possibly be?
I don't know.
And he said he just met this. If you just met her, how could she piss you off that much? He said he'd never seen her before.
Yeah, apparently, she was fighting with his girlfriend.
She might have said her story is, I guess he was trying to get her to go with one of his boys. It didn't work out. She dropped the N-bomb and things escalated.
Oh.
I just don't kick her
to the curb.
Let me just tell you this. I don't believe that. Number one, he said he didn't handle her right.
I don't care what she said to him. You don't do what he did.
That's just a...
beat it.
I don't
you know
even
what?
Believe
you tell her, get
honestly,
out.
Honestly, I don't even believe him if that's it wasn't allegedly. Because he would have said...
He didn't tell Lisa Salters that yesterday.
It wasn't him. When you watch a TMZ video, his buddies talking to the cops said that.
Right.
Oh, whatever.
What a shocker.
Whatever. You know what? And I don't care. If she said that, so what? Then you say, get out of here and don't ever come back here. You don't punch her and kick her. I don't care what she said. She could have said anything about his mom, whatever. Patrick Beverly. Somebody said something about his mom. You know what he did? Threw a basketball at him.
No. A perfect bounce pass.
It was a good bounce pass.
Except if it's a bounce pass that hits you in a bad place, then it's not.
How about catch it? How about catch it?
Well, yeah, right.
Bounce pass is the easiest thing in the world to catch.
Well, not no, is it?
Not go, if go you're ahead. Big Put, man go in ahead. The lane.
You're in the lane with Dwight Howard?
You know what? That really upsets me that even has come out. Like, you know what? I 0% believe that was said.
No, it's not like...
Supposedly she scrapped with... They were underaged. What I heard was, is this true? They said, well, we kicked them out because we thought they were 21, and it turns out they were 19, and that's why we kicked them out. And then she started a fight with a girl that we were with, and you don't see her pulling her hair off that, and that's when Kareem
went
bananas.
Well, the video about what she allegedly said happened at the time, TMZ just didn't got everything and released it. The friend said it at the time when they were talking to the police. So it wasn't like this was a story that got released later. They said it at the time. TMZ just got the video and they released it.
And then we'll never hear her say anything.
Whatever. All I know is this.
And
Baker,
then people will say, well, Kareem is... Well, supposedly that's what she said, so Kareem had to do it, so he's okay to do that.
No.
I mean, no. Don't be stupid. And then I guess he'll say the guy in Ohio said it to his face, too, and that's why he punched him in the face, and it'll just be the excuse for all of the physical altercations.
I heard Kareem yesterday, though, with Lisa Salters. He's not that person. He's not that person.
Yeah. I always hear everyone who's not on the video is not. I found out the guy that got in a fight at Riel, he's not that person either.
He's not that person.
Apparently, yeah, he was just... He's not that guy.
He's not that guy.
Now, all of my background research on him shows that he is that guy.
Right.
Everything I've said, complete and total douchebag.
Well, and you know what? Is Baker that guy? Is Baker that guy that
we
throws?
We know who Baker is.
What we just found out about Baker? That Romeo's smarter. Mm-hmm. Romeo is much smarter. You were dead on that. And I guess Deshaun, I don't know. Deshaun had himself a nice game.
It was solid. And I don't even really want to nitpick this, not in this first segment, because we haven't even gotten to the Texans. I'll probably let it wait. It's just, at some point, I want to talk about the Texans' halftime, because at the end of halves, Deshaun and Bill O'Brien have got to get better. The two of them together are not good before halves. They burn up clock. O'Brien letting 16 seconds go off a clock instead of calling timeout. Like, what is happening here? How can this be this bad? Deshaun acts like he's got 4 minutes instead of 40 seconds.
Oh, well, we saw
I
it.
I don't understand.
We saw it. It worked out for him, but we saw it at the end of the national title game.
Yeah, it was the same thing. The lack of urgency in the final. Yeah.
Oh, no, he does. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way Deshaun is.
And then waiting in the pocket and looking. Yeah. Dude, you got to speed operation.
Wait a minute. The New England game? It was almost identical where he sat. Well, I'm just trying to make a play. No, Deshaun, you're the quarterback. You have to know how much time is left and that you can't just take your time.
And a lot of self sacks now. I mean, Deshaun takes a lot of sacks that are on him. They self sack. But with all that said, listen, the Texans have won 9 in a row. This was supposed to be the game that was dangerous. Now was Cleveland. They're a dangerous team. They're playing. They had been playing pretty good football here recently. Baker had been playing good. It wasn't dangerous. The Texans right now, let's just be honest, they are making games not dangerous for themselves. Next up is the Indianapolis Colts. And the Colts have been dangerous. Well, they had a bad game yesterday. They got shut out. In this day and age in pro football, getting shut out is hard. And Jacksonville Jaguars showed up defensively, shut them out. They showed up to the tune of 6 points on offense and won. They won 6-0 in what had to have been one of the worst games of the season.
No.
I didn't see 1 second of it.
And it was, without a doubt, the worst game of this. I don't think, I was at the Baltimore-Cleveland 12-9 game. Ooh.
This is 6-0.
This was 6-0. That's right. No, absolutely.
I mean, Andrew Luck, I don't know how many first downs the Colts had, but I do know this much. The Texans right now with 9 wins, you know, you look at how they get them and you say to yourself, they are running the football. There's no other way around it. Lamar Miller is running the football. They are blocking for him. Deshaun Watson can make plays. He had some real nice throws. That touchdown pass he had to Jordan Thomas was a dime.
Beauty.
Just dropped it in there beautifully.
I saw you tweet, and I want to get this on the other side because we got to take a break, that people are talking about who the Texans can't beat. Is that the narrative today? Because I'm going to tell you this.
I got it yesterday again.
Oh, I'm going to tell you this. Mm-hmm. There ain't anybody that, you know what, in the AFC that the Texans can't beat.
Chiefs.
Really?
I don't think they can beat
Oh, Chiefs. I do.
Do you really?
I do. I absolutely do.
I feel like this is 50 touchdown Deshaun.
Oh, really? Wait a minute. This team is exactly where I thought it would be, 9-3.
I don't think
they're not.
Go to Kansas City.
Why do you make them think they can beat Kansas City?
Why do you think they can't?
Kansas City scores a zillion points every game.
They won't score a zillion points on this defense. No.
Who are the best offenses the Texans have played? The Colts the Colts and the Patriots, I guess, at this point, are the best quarterbacks. What are the best quarterbacks they've played?
They've played Andrew Luck and Tom Brady.
And Luck hadn't had a good game going into that game.
And how many points did they put up?
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
No.
What do you mean? Yes, it does.
Why does that matter in that game? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Andrew Luck scores a million points, but he got shut out yesterday. It doesn't matter.
You know what?
Why? It's not like that defense can't get after Pat Mahomes and make him nuts.
They couldn't get after Baker Mayfield.
They got after Baker Mayfield just fine to the 2-3 interceptions.
No, they didn't get after him. They didn't touch him. No. I don't know that they ended
up
with a sack.
They dropped everybody back. But
they didn't get after him. That's the one thing that bothered me about yesterday. Like, where's the pressure? Greg Robinson's at left tackle. Greg Robinson's been cut by like 17 teams now.
Greg Robinson.
How are they not? I didn't know how they weren't pressuring Baker.
But I don't know why you think that this team can't beat anybody.
I think they can beat a lot of teams. I do. I don't think I still think the Colts, Saints, Rams are in a different league. I know the Saints got beat by the Cowboys, but I don't think the Texans.
You mean the Chiefs, Saints, Rams?
Chiefs, Saints, Rams. I just think the Texans. I just don't think the Texans are. I just don't think the Texans are on that level.
That's on you.
I don't care. I don't think anyone is. And the point is, talking all the time about who the Tech, every time they win, well, here's what is bad about, here's why this win streak doesn't matter. We have so many Texans fans now, I guess Texans fans, who all they focus on is why these wins aren't good, they're beating.
It's
9 in a row. It's the most ever in Texans history, and it's approaching the 11-game mark from the Houston. And it's not crazy, and I know what you're about to say. 13 is not out of the... A 13.
Let's go back to a month ago when I wrote that they would go 13. They would win 13 straight.
A month ago?
Over a month ago. Let's go back. Okay.
What were their record?
You can't go back because there's no search feature.
What do you mean? There's no search feature on Sportsman?
How
are
you going to find it? You better have that link
ready.
That's
all right. I've got my...
It's the worst platform ever.
I've got my...
Put some audio in here? Nope.
No one else can find it, but you have the link and you wrote it, so maybe you can find it.
Can't embed video either. Can we switch platforms? Nope.
Well, I'll go find it and I'll send it out to everybody. How's that?
Yeah, because they're not going to be able to find it themselves.
No, they won't be able to. I'll send it out.
What do we Google? And this John Granato crazy predictions.
This was when they were, I believe, 5-3. And now even 4-3. And now
I'm going to read your tone to see if you're being facetious.
I wasn't being facetious. I was being 100% accurate. Is what I was being.
I know is. This is 9 in a row, and people who are and the same people who, and it's just it's all it is narrative junkies who just they can't get off of whatever.
They're doing this despite Bill O'Brien. Deshaun Watson's getting the good calls, and he's ignoring Bill O'Brien's calls and doing his own stuff. Like, no, Bill O'Brien's calling the plays. They're working. The Texans are winning. I'm sorry it doesn't fit with what you like.
All right. What does fit? Well, I don't know what's going on with your love life right now. I can tell you that. But I've got the medicine for it, I've got the medicine at a much better price for it. Listen, if you're having any issues, relationship wise, and not relationship so much as relations, you're having a tough time with that. Well, I've got it for you. All you have to do is go to fourhymns.com/John5, fourhymns.com/John5, and fourhymns.com/John5 will get you to a much better place at a much, much better price. How about $5 for the first month? $5. You compare that to going to the doctor, sitting in the doctor's office all day, so you're going to have to miss work. You're going to talk to the doctor, which is going to cost you at least a $20 copay. And then you're going to have an expensive pharmacy bill because it is expensive. Not at 4hims.com. It's the generic equivalent to those blue and yellow pills. So what I got for you right now is $5. And you don't go through all that embarrassment. You do talk to a doctor online, but it's at your leisure. At 4hims.com/John5. 4hims.com/John5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We talked about all week that they were plus 14. They were tied with Chicago for number one in the league in the takeaway giveaway column. And you know, we felt like if we didn't perform well in that category, we were going to have a long day. And I give credit to our players. They did a great job of really kind of, you know, really trying to follow that key to the game.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, there's Bill O'Brien yesterday. I'm going to tell you this. You can hate all you want. This team has won 9 straight freaking NFL games. And that ain't I don't care, because we've seen now. Oh, really? How's that Cowboy win look now? How's that Denver win look now? Much better than they didn't look good. Who gives a rat's ass how they look? They're 9-3. They're 9-3. Okay?
I just don't
care. And, oh, by the way, the Raiders put up 30 on the Chiefs. You don't think that the Texans can score on the Chiefs?
I don't think the Texans can keep the Chiefs down. But whatever. This isn't about that. It's about how the Texans are playing. And, you know, what you want to do is just get there and then make play. This is how you win those games. It's the same way you beat Alabama. You try to win, you know. Beating them more than a couple times out of 10 is going to be almost impossible.
Don't have
what
to.
You do, yeah, you Buster Douglas it. You get there, you win a turnover battle, you have something go right on special teams, and you play a really, really good game, and before you know it, you're in a fourth quarter with a chance to have a quarterback who can make plays.
It is not, okay?
Anybody can be
beat. And it is not out of the realm of possibilities. And as a matter of fact, they're one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. As well they should be. I'm going to tell you this. It'll be a lot tougher in the NFC. I don't think there's any question. I wouldn't like them against the Rams or the Saints, especially going to the Saints. I wouldn't like that. I don't want any part of that, if you want to know the truth.
But
I'm going to tell you this. I don't see any reason why this team can't beat Kansas City or New England.
I completely think that New England is within grasp. I think Kansas City will outscore you. But right now, I'm going to try to find the numbers. But I mean, right now, you look at the Houston Texans and you can complain because we already hear it. It's already on Twitter, complainer guy. Like, if you look at who they beat, if you do this, if you do that, that was fine. You know, even when it was 6-3, that was fine. And we can go back and nitpick. Well, they barely won this. They barely won that. They have won 9 in a row. If it's so easy to win 9 in a row, why don't more teams do it?
Yeah.
If it's so easy to win 9 in a row, why don't more teams do it?
No, it's not easy. It's not easy. Right now, the Texans are 30-1.
This is going to make people sad, too.
To win the Super Bowl.
That's a pretty
Saints are
long
first,
odds.
Rams, Chiefs.
30-1, and they're one of the favorites?
Steelers, yeah. Patriots, Bears, Chargers, Texans. I mean, they're a top 8 team.
What are they in the AFC?
I don't have that.
Well, yeah, just look at the names.
Oh, they're
out of the AFC teams.
They're third. They're behind the Chiefs and the Patriots.
No,
and the Chargers.
They're fifth. And the Steelers, right?
And the Steelers. Yeah.
So they're fifth.
Yeah, like the Steelers. No, stop. The Steelers suck.
They're fifth.
Steelers officially suck.
Who do you like better? Lost to the Chargers?
Not just because of the. Oh, really? How about their loss to Denver? They're playing like ever since. Since they played the Panthers, and oh, by the way, that Panthers win ain't looking all that good anymore either.
The Texans are better than the Steelers, which is fine. That's any man's. That's your opinion. There's not a huge goal for. I would say the Texans are so much better, and the Steelers suck. I mean, just to your point, where you think the Texans can go into Kansas City and win a game? If the Steelers came here, they would have a real shot to come here.
What's the odds?
Yeah.
What are the Steelers' odds?
The The Steelers are 6-1. Why?
Yeah, I mean, that's
and
that's
the Patriots are 8-1. Why?
Is that old?
This is,
they can't be 6-1.
Oh, no, no, no. This is as of November 20th. I just Googled it, and this is what 20th? Came up. November 20th. What the hell? Oh, that was probably right after that Panthers game. Yeah, probably.
Well, I get the Patriots a little bit because they're still in line. Now they have to continue to win because the Texans do. They're still in line to host a divisional round game, and all they would need is to go win a game on the road.
Super Bowl 53.
In Kansas City, if it comes to that.
Here.
Super Bowl 53
got
odds.
It right here.
Super Bowl 53 odds right now. The Texans are 14-1, not 30.
Yeah.
Okay. 14-1. The Chargers are 12-1, just ahead of them. Chiefs are 5.
Where are you getting? Where's that from?
MyBookie.ag.
Okay.
Promo code radio.
Okay.
All right. MyBookie.ag. Promo code radio. How's that? And the Steelers are behind the Texans now at 16-1. The Texans are 14.
I've got different odds here. Although they've got the Chargers at 20-1, the Steelers or the Texans at 20-1, the Steelers. Ooh, where are they? Where are the Steelies? Anyway, they got the Patriots at 7-1, but they have Super Bowl chances for the Houston Texans, 2.94%, conference 7.73%, division 78.6%, and a make the playoffs 94.9%.
Yeah. Okay. Division is only 78 with a 3-game
lead. I take it
back.
They've got Steelers at 8-1 here. And this was, you know what? This was, I think, 23 hours ago. So, yeah. Yeah. So it would have been before.
Yeah. Well, they're 16-1 here, and the Texans are 14-1. And the Chargers are 12-1.
That sounds more like
it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that sounds more like it.
All right. 726, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. But can we stop? This is a good football team. As a matter of fact, I was watching the game with an executive for the Cleveland Browns who shall go nameless, but he was like, I'm gonna tell you what, this is as good a team as we faced all year. This football team is as good a team as we faced all year.
The Texans in the first half looked really, really good. The second half, it was just they were kind of on cruise control. The first half, I mean, Baker Mayfield, this is one of the reasons when we talked about the game and I was analyzing it, I was like, wait a minute. Greg Williams is on one side. He's a pretty good defensive coordinator. Romeo Crennel's really good, and Baker is a rookie. This could be a rough game for the quarterbacks. Baker was terrible. And, you know, I thought Bruce Arians, you didn't get to hear this. Bruce Arians had some really interesting insights in the game yesterday. Really interesting. He talked about one of them. And see, this is something that fans would never, never know unless you watch a broadcast and you have a former coach or player. And see, coaches bring something I think even that a quarterback like Tony Romo doesn't really recognize. Bruce Arians goes, oh, right there, that's a that was a bear beater right there, what Bill O'Brien just called up. Boy, he had to dial it back. And so obviously a producer got in his ear. He goes, oh, there's a bear beater right there. And then they come back after the play, and a producer must have said, hey,
Bruce, explain what a bear beater is.
So he goes, so what they did there is a bear front is where every player is covered up. Bear fronts don't allow off. Bear fronts is when you've got a guy over every offensive lineman. Five offensive linemen, five guys in front of them, right in front of them. And it doesn't allow you, a lot of times it's used against zone blocking teams because it doesn't allow offensive linemen, you're not free. So you can't climb up. You can't combo block, you know, and down block. You got a guy right in front of you. Right, yeah. Right. So that was made the famous by the Bears and Buddy Ryan, you know, the bear front. So anyway, he said, well, what this play is you got a player right over the tight end, but the tackle will block him basically, which frees him up to go on his route. And he goes, Bill O'Brien dialed something from way back up right there. He said he pulled that from way back, the bear beater. So that was pretty interesting is that he talked about Bill O'Brien was running a play that you don't see often because he was anticipating Greg Williams doing that based on watching tape. That's good for Bill O'Brien. That's the point. You know, Bill O'Brien's just not some slap ass who doesn't know anything. Bill O'Brien is a good offensive mind. I don't agree sometimes with how he goes about his ideology at times, especially inside the red zone. I don't always agree with how Deshaun Watson does stuff. But the idea that Bill O'Brien is just some complete numbnuts who the Texans are accidentally winning some games despite how terrible he is, that's just what fans will say without any knowledge of anything. it's not 100% accurate. If you want to be accurate, mention the areas where he has issues, because he has issues. He's not clean. But, you know, he also mentioned this, Bruce Arians. He said, Greg Williams, because they talked to these coaches. He said, Greg Williams said they knew if they showed him bare front, you know, if they showed him this look, that they would check into a speed option and they were going to hit Deshaun. The Texans checked into a speed option there in the goal line where he took off to the right. Mm-hmm. I don't remember even seeing. Do you remember seeing them run the speed option this year? I don't know why Greg Williams knew they were going to run a speed option, because he told Bruce Arians that. And sure enough, they ran what Greg Williams thought they would run. Like, I just thought, man, coaches, their ability to recognize and read what another coach will do amazing. Based on past history and going and watching tape, like, ooh, we've shown that look before, and look what they did. I'll bet they do the same thing to us. Yep. It's really amazing what they do. But it takes a crap load of time in film sessions and studying and hours. And I knew, because my dad would be in at 6:30. He gets home at 10:30, 11 o'clock, and would wake up in the middle of the night and start drawing up stuff. Like, coaches put a tremendous amount of time trying to figure out what the other guy is going to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, our guy does that too. And the point is, I know it's easy just because Bill O'Brien is not like, people just don't like Bill O'Brien, and he's a butt chin, and he's a red ass and all that stuff. But Bill O'Brien is not a complete numbnuts like people think.
I don't really care what you say.
And, I mean, and oh, by
really
the way,
not, it's,
oh,
it's just not a true narrative.
And, oh, by the way, I have a newfound respect for Bill O'Brien. When asked about what he was going to do, didn't he say, I don't know, I'll watch a movie and have a few Coors Lights? Didn't he say that? Or a Coors Light? Didn't Bill O'Brien say that at some point a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, he did.
Where is it?
He did. No, there's a quote to Bill O'Brien. And as a matter of fact, I tweeted. I was like, oh, my God. And everybody was like, oh, John, look at that. Bill O'Brien.
Oh, really?
Coors Light.
I didn't see that. Oh, yeah. Although Patrick Feegis, who listens to a Feegis barbecue, when I said the Granado Kolache, said, is it just a Coors Light can wrapped in some dough? Said, no, it's not just a Coors Light can wrapped in some dough.
Well, why isn't it?
Because I made a Granado Kolache as an homage with the sausage and peppers.
Yeah.
Wow, was it good.
Well, I'm trying to tell you, I think it'd be better if it had some Coors Light in it.
How much hot air was in the kolache?
Listen, isn't it going to be better if there's Coors Light in it? Isn't everything better with Coors Light in it? Yes. Yes, it is. So if you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, like I was all weekend, then all you need to do is pick you up some Coors Light.
Preach on, brother.
You got a problem.
No, I don't have a problem. I have a wonderful time. That's what I have. I have a wonderful time with my Coors Lights every weekend, if you want to know the truth. And a lot
Are you limiting yourself to
I'm
weekends?
Not limiting it, but
some
I'm
weekdays?
Saying. Yeah, there's some weekdays. Well, quite a few weekdays, but every weekend for sure. Coors Light, brother. Climb on.
On the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5. This
is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
He's got a lot of talent, and he's a very smart guy. He's very attentive in the meetings, and he really works hard every day to get better.
That's Bill O'Brien talking about Justin Reed. How about that? What about that? Never giving up. Never give up. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't care how hopeless it looks. And guess what? Justin Reed didn't give up, and it paid off. Forced that fumble. That's a big play. That's a good play. That's a huge play right there in a football game. It's a huge play in a football game, guys. All right? So you got that. I said this during the break, and I don't know where
Let's get to the college football. We haven't even mentioned the college football playoffs at all.
I know. So that's what I'm – okay. I think Kyler Murray is the Heisman Trophy. I think he's the best player in the country.
Is he in the college football playoffs?
He's in the college football playoffs.
Who else is in, John?
Well, Notre Dame. I think everybody knew who was going to be in. And the only issue was whether or not it was going to be Oklahoma or Georgia. And you couldn't put – now, I will say this. This is a question for Bill Hancock. I would imagine somebody – any team that played Alabama and lost – Oklahoma played Texas in their championship game. Georgia had to play Alabama. So is Georgia a better football team than Oklahoma? I think so.
I listened to on ESPN. I was coming home from my son's basketball practice, and ESPN on our station had the college football playoff roundup show or whatever. And there were two or three guys hosting, and then Heather Dinich came on, and she spoke to Hancock and Mullins and everybody who was involved with the process. And it was really very interesting because they asked every question, Trevor Maddich, like they went through every Georgia scenario, every Oklahoma scenario, every Ohio State scenario, Notre Dame. Like was there any talk about Notre Dame finishing fourth instead of third? And they went through everything. And you know what it basically came down to? They said it was their most contentious they've had. This is the fifth one. This is easily the most contentious selection committee they had. But ultimately, and there were definitely people who voted for Georgia to be in there, but they couldn't get enough of a consensus to push Georgia through based on you have to clearly, I guess this is the line of demarcation is, you have to believe that they are clear cut, clearly one of the four best teams. Like if Alabama had lost to Georgia, Alabama, they would have said Alabama is clearly one of the four best teams. Oklahoma for sure would have been out. Oklahoma would have been out if right. Alabama would have won.
Right.
Lost 100%. But instead what and if Texas had beaten Oklahoma, Georgia would have been in ahead of Ohio State. Clearly.
Yes.
They would have been in ahead of Ohio State.
Because they finished ahead of them anyway. Right.
So what basically one of the things that came up is it really becomes an idea of do you believe – because the Vegas – I saw a Vegas article that showed they have Georgia's in their top four teams. Basically, it came down to the college football playoffs. They say we believe we got the top four teams. We went in there trying to choose the top four football teams. That's what we did. A lot of people think they took the path of least resistance, which I tend to believe, that they were going to default to we can't do this again. We can't do SEC gets two teams in when a one-loss team – wait, is Oklahoma one loss?
One loss.
Yeah, a one-loss Oklahoma team who avenged their loss against a ranked team. We can't do that. And I think they took the path of least resistance. The gun-to-the-head test, I still believe Georgia is a top-four team. Georgia gave Alabama everything in the world they could handle. I don't know how you could come out of Saturday and not think Georgia's one of the four best teams. But I really don't think they took the four best teams. I think they took the path of least resistance.
Agreed.
With a good Oklahoma team who just happens to have a substandard defense.
Now, right. I will say this.
But I think they're unless better than you Notre
have,
Dame.
Unless you have Georgia's athletes and their quarterback and their running backs, unless you have Georgia's talent, you can't not play Alabama football and beat Alabama. Georgia proved you can play with them and actually could have won. What the hell is he going for it on 4th and 11 for? What the hell is wrong with him? That was about as dumb a call as I've ever seen a coach. It was almost as dumb as Frank Reich. Almost as dumb as Frank Reich against the Texans. Honestly, what are you thinking about? We're trying to be aggressive. No, you're being stupid.
You're aggressive. Go for it on 4th and 11 with your starting quarterback in the game.
Yeah.
You're trying to be deceptive.
Fake punt.
And you got caught.
Yeah. Right. The fake punt with the backup what? Like Josh Fields, Justin Fields is on the field, and you don't know there's a possibility that they're going to fake it? Really? I mean, Alabama had their first team defense in. That's what they did. Okay.
As you see that, and that's why Bama actually does that a lot. They go into a base defense
and say,
you do what you're going to do.
Ahead.
Yeah, because I was watching the other day and I was like, but Bama guys just stay in the game for Bama defensive players.
But I will say this. I think you cannot possibly, unless you have Georgia's talent, because we saw LSU can't possibly.
Georgia's head coach, by the way.
And you
Kirby is a good coach.
He is a good coach. But you can't possibly beat Alabama that way. You know who can beat Alabama? Oklahoma.
How are they going to keep them under 50?
How did they play against Georgia last year?
They played with Baker. They played really well.
Okay, so here's the deal. With Baker, they played really well. You know what? Kyler Murray, I think, is the Heisman Trophy winner this year. Kyler Murray is playing better than anybody in the country.
But what happened in that game? Well, they couldn't hold up defensively.
They couldn't. Well, but here's the deal.
They had the ball tied, and Lincoln Riley took the ball out of the best player in the country's
hand. Yeah, yeah.
So you don't. They had the game where they wanted it. It was tied. They go down and score. They win that game. He decided, sorry, Baker, I'm not doing it. Or to put the game away. They actually had the lead, and he took the ball out of his hand. They had it in their control.
They really did. And but to say that they didn't, they could have won. They could have. That style of listen, I think Kyler Murray is going to give them fits.
I can tell you this. Oklahoma is easily one of the least talented defenses that I've ever seen in a college football playoffs. They are the least talented defense. Not just bad, the least talented. There's no talent there. Honestly, I don't know how they are going to hold up against the athletes. Now, I do think Oklahoma can score on Bama. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think getting to 30 is could be a challenge. But I think they could potentially get there.
Well, I don't know.
Why?
I think they don't have DeAndre Swift. They don't. Let me tell you something. You better be able Georgia has Jake Fromm and DeAndre Swift. Fromm isn't afraid of anything.
But you don't.
Nothing in the world Fromm's afraid of.
You don't beat Alabama on the football. You beat them the way, or at least almost beat them the way Georgia did. And as much as I can't stand
Gary
Danielson.
Yeah, but they did run the ball too.
He talked about it. You got to challenge their corners. That's always been the case.
Yeah, they don't.
You don't beat them run the ball. That's what LSU's problem is. You continue to challenge them and make them make plays.
And first, Lamb and Marquise Brown, they are going to be a problem for Alabama to hold the whole time.
Calcaterra, what's his name? Carcaterra?
Yeah.
Calcaterra's the announcer. What's his name?
Calcaterra.
Is it Calcaterra? Because there's an announcer with that name too, I think.
Yeah.
You have to challenge their outside guys because as great as Bama's been with their secondary, send those guys to the NFL, you watch them in big games that they lose. Those guys don't play the ball well. It's always been the case when they lose games, their defensive backs did not play the ball in the air well. That's what Oklahoma's going to have to do. Challenge. I don't care if Kyler throws the ball 65 times. That's the only way you're winning that game.
All right. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us here. What do you think?
14-point. They're a 14-point underdog.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm taking those 14.
Notre Dame is an 11-point underdog to Clemson. Notre Dame better be glad Oklahoma didn't shoot up to 3 and Notre Dame to 4 because Notre Dame would have got beat by at least 30.
This is the issue I had with Kirk Herbstreit the entire time because Danielson started. I expected it from him. He's on the SEC channel. Herbstreit was talking about Georgia's one of the four best teams. So, if Oklahoma's not better than Notre Dame, then
I think Oklahoma.
So
is.
Why is Notre Dame?
Because they're undefeated and they're
okay.
So, we almost can't even argue that because we already know they're not going anywhere.
I get what you're saying, but so his point is two losses to Georgia don't mean anything because they're best.
Do you know?
But they're one of the four best. But the one loss to Oklahoma does, but. He even said himself he thinks Oklahoma's better than Notre Dame.
Do you know that Vegas has Notre Dame is 6 and then Michigan is 4? In terms of power rankings. But there was a lot of if Ohio State had been less. Well, we'll get to that. We'll also get to Texas stuff. If you guys want to jump in on Texans or the college football playoff, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
We'll have Bill Hancock on tomorrow to talk about all this stuff, right?
Yeah, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
8 o'clock tomorrow right here. We're going to have Clarence McKinney on at 8:30. He just got the very, very good for him. Local coach, high school coach who went with Summy and has been an assistant to Summy for all of these years now since Summy was at U of H.
That's what I was thinking.
And now he's the TSU new head coach. So we'll have him on at 8:30 to talk about that. In the meantime, why don't you talk about your Rockets?
In the meantime, let's talk about our Houston Rockets. Here is what we've got going on for the Rockets right now. It's your one-stop shop for the unique holiday gifts this season. 5-game holiday pack starting as low as $149. They're available right now at Rockets.com. RocketsShop.com, your Rockets headquarters for all the latest Rockets hats, jerseys, polos, kids' gear, and more. They also have 12 days of online Christmas at RocketShop.com. That's 12 days of holiday specials, including daily specials on items like the James Harden jersey, Rockets hats, Rockets plush toys, and more. A different deal each day leading up to Christmas Day delivery. Take advantage of a limited-time Rockets jersey swap. Bring in any old Rockets jersey to the Rockets team shop at Toyota Center and swap it for any new jersey at 25% off. Make sure that you go to Rockets.com for all your details. That's Rockets.com. And the Rockets Kid Club, presented by Children's Memorial Hermann, is the perfect stocking stuffer for the young Rockets fans, with two different packages available, with the All-Star package containing two tickets to an upcoming game, and that's just $45. For more information, go to Rockets.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Jalen Waddle will stand at the 10-yard line. Jake Kamada, the true freshman, will punt it away. It's a fake. They give it to snap at the Fields. He's looking for some room to run. And he is stopped at the line of scrimmage. Anthony Jennings read it and dropped Fields. And the fake punt is snuffed out by the Crimson Tide.
It's the dumbest play I've ever seen. I mean, good Lord, it's Alabama. And they have their first team defense in. You think that they're going to fall for that, Kirby? Why not give Jalen Hurts, who hasn't played in 8 weeks,
no, yeah,
and make him go the length of the field to beat you?
That was truly unbelievable. That was truly unbelievable. How about this? I had to watch it later, that particular one, the play. I'm checking on my phone. Scores, right? Because we were out. So I'm like, refresh. And I'm thinking, okay, Georgia's going to go down and, you know, win this game, refresh. All of a sudden, I mean, it had been no more than, I was like away from the phone for 10 minutes. Refresh, Bama's scored. Like, what the? Was it a pick six? What happened? And then when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, why would you take that chance? Why would you make it any easier for the opposite, for an Alabama team? And you're right. Jalen Hurts, have you thought about this? He could have transferred, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Kelly Bryant transferred, and it almost cost Clemson.
Nope.
Because Clemson was dead to rights with this third stringer who was not good at all. And Alabama could have been in a ton of trouble if Jalen Hurts had transferred. But you know what he said? I want to stay at Alabama. I want to be on this team, and I want to be at this college. And the grass isn't always greener necessarily. He may have been able to play at some lesser team and had no fun at college.
There's a slight difference because Kelly Bryant wouldn't have a year of eligibility if he stayed. Jalen Hurts will probably still leave and play his final year someplace else.
Yeah, right. But he stayed for the rest of the season.
Yes.
And he was rewarded with, and Alabama was rewarded with him, you know, with frankly, I think they would have got in anyway. But Jalen, what a great story for Jalen to come back and lead that victory for them after losing his job to Tua and losing a job in grand fashion in a national championship game. What a great opportunity for a guy who's such a high character player, such a team guy, to step in and help Alabama into an undefeated season.
That was a really neat picture. Tua hugging Jalen after the game. And you know, to have that after Jalen gets his job taken and he's won a national championship.
And he was hugging too after the national championship. Yes, like, everyone's like, man, Jalen is a class dude. Act.
And for those two to have that moment and return, Tua returns the favor. But, I mean, this is Alabama. When your backup quarterback is freaking Jalen Hurts, good Lord. I mean, that you got somebody that can come in, that's won a national championship and can do what Jalen Hurts does. I mean, it's just a filthy, filthy, filthy rich and an abundance of riches over there at Alabama. And that's why they're Alabama. But I'm telling you, I really like, I don't, not that Oklahoma will win, but I certainly like them playing within that number. What is the under over? 70?
79.
That is a
like. There's
here's
no,
the deal, though.
I don't see any way Alabama doesn't get into the 40s. The question is, can they get into the 50s? I think.
Here's the deal. We talked about this before. You don't want. By the way, you don't want any part of Oklahoma if you're trying to be one of the SEC have all the best defensive teams in the league. Well, because they don't play a Big 12 style of football. Go ahead and put Georgia. Georgia had one game against Oklahoma last year. Guess what they did? They gave up 48 or whatever the final score was.
No, you know, yeah, they scored a lot.
They scored a bunch, and they went back and forth. But guess what? You're not going to be able to play defense when you're playing against that
kind
of offense.
What if I flipped it and said, hey, Oklahoma, wouldn't it be great if you won a national championship with Kyler Murray as your quarterback, if you could play any defense at all?
Yeah, it'd be wonderful.
I mean, that's also an embarrassment that a team that's has been so talent-rich in the past, you know what? They haven't been substantially talented defensively. That's actually not true. From an NFL talent standpoint, Stoops has actually coached them up over the years, and he usually gets their best in college, and they don't get a lot better in the pros.
But again, I think it's self fulfilling. I think it's
Big 12's got to learn to play defense.
But they don't. But why would That's I go why, there? Why would I go there if I'm going to be on the field for 100 snaps? Why would if I'm a defensive player, I'm going somewhere where I'm only on the field for 60 snaps? I'm not going to the Big 12.
Well, I don't think you look. I think you look at you going to the place that gives you the best chance to go to the pros, and you look at how many teams.
And you know what's not the Big 12.
Well, but. But
if I'm a cornerback, Lance, and I'm
so
on the field.
So don't play wide open offense?
So if I'm on the field for all of those snaps and you're throwing at me 30 times a game, of course I'm going to get beat. I'm not going to look as good. If I'm in the SEC where they don't have great – if I'm playing LSU every week against Joe Burrow, am I not going to look better than I do against Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray?
What the hell just happened here?
Did he turn
How
on Joe
did this
Burrow?
Happen? Joe Burrow just
Where
put
are
up
we?
Astronomical numbers, and now you're trashing Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow for Heisman just happened against A&M.
What the hell?
Listen. No one loves Joe Burrow more than I do, okay? But I'd much rather face Joe Burrow than Kyler Murray.
There's no question.
Okay?
There's no question.
Let me have some of Joe Burrow.
So Kyler Murray is playing an exceptional brand of football, and I'm already dreading having to write his NFL profile because I don't know what to do with him. Like,
he ain't going to the NFL. Why would you?
What do you mean he's not going?
He's going to the baseball.
Why do you say that?
He's already signed a deal. He's going to go.
Doesn't matter.
He says he's not even going to play his senior year at Oklahoma. He's going to go play baseball.
Let's just see what happens. I want to make sure. I don't want to have to write this profile because it's going to be hard. I don't think it's going to happen that easily. I think he's going to use football as leverage against baseball now and say, you want to sign me? Then this is what it's going to take.
He's already signed.
Wait, did he agree?
Yeah, he signed a deal when he got drafted.
Wait, has he already signed?
Yes, yeah, he signed.
The A's are like, hey, well.
Oh, good. Get out of here. Yeah, I don't want
to
write you up.
He came to an agreement with the A's that he would play this year and not play a senior year and then go play baseball.
Good. Beat it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Don't worry about it.
You don't have to take another day off.
Because is he Russell Wilson? Like, I don't want to call him Russell Wilson. I had a scout. Bucky Brooks is saying, he is tweeting. Bucky Brooks tweeted, you know, if Baker Mayfield can go on the first, so can Kyler Murray and all this and that. This is before this game. And he's talking about his size. I mean, Kyler is 5'10".
Yes.
Baker was 6 foot.
Well, and I couldn't have been more wrong because I didn't think Kyler could play
at this
level. I
didn't think
Kyler
had arm talent. When I saw him at A&M, I'm like, God, he stinks.
Yes.
I swear to God, I thought he stunk when I saw him play against Alabama. Well, he did play against Bama. But, and so did Kyle Allen. He stunk too. But Kyler has been unbelievable this year.
Way better. And I can't tell you, I couldn't have been more wrong because I didn't think he's a little person that he'd be able to even see over the line.
He's not a little person. He's small for football. He's not a little person.
You're not allowed to say little person. Well,
you can say little person.
It's not offensive?
No, he just called the wrong. He's not a little person.
He is a little person.
He's small for football.
He's a little fella.
He's not.
I like to call him a little person because he's little.
Well, so he is, but you know what he does?
Oh, you think that's gigantic.
Now, wait a minute.
He's an inch taller than me.
Okay, so that's insulting to you,
no,
right?
It's not insulting me. It's just wrong.
But
that's
no,
all it is.
Here's a problem. Gilbert, we're not talking to you. So here's a problem. The one problem you have with looking at Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray has not. Now, this is where we talk about, well, Alabama doesn't face these quarterbacks. Well, Kyler Murray doesn't face these defenses. And this is where Kyler Murray is going to get challenged and Oklahoma's going to get challenged. Number one, he's going to be challenged by a front that is going to blitz him. Like, Texas is rushing three. What are you rushing three? If you let Kyler Murray bounce up and down without a care in the world, no one's even remotely close to him, look what he did to Texas. He slaughtered them when they did that. Every third down seemed like it was a conversion.
Is Texas not the greatest team in the country? Yes.
They're one of them? Yeah. Yeah.
Texas is back, folks.
Thank you. Sugar Bowl. Sugar Bowl, Dale. And any good?
Well, can I say what
No, you can't say it. Because Lance has to do a live spot with Men's Tea Clinics. We're not saying what you keep saying during the breaks.
I mean, all I'm going to say
about
is
about birth and then afterwards.
Well, okay? We're not saying that. All I'm going to say is Oklahoma is Texas is the Big 12 right baby. Now? Oklahoma's Texas baby. Texas is what came after the baby.
Oh, that's not. That's ugliness. Okay.
The Big 12 loves their baby.
What came after the baby?
Let him say
more
that?
Love?
The Big 12 loves.
Why
love,
would you let
hugs?
Him say that?
The Big 12 loves their baby because it's in the CFP. And now the Sugar Bowl gets left of what comes after the baby.
Oh, Mike, it's the Sugar Bowl. This isn't.
What
we're
comes
not
after?
Doing Culligan Bowl
what comes
anymore.
After birth, though? Only what comes the, after birth, though?
Well, it's after birth. You know what it is. The only reason
what
Texas.
What comes after birth?
Well.
Love what? For the baby?
Hugs and kisses and a slap on the ass to make sure it cries?
Yeah. How about that?
All I know is if Oklahoma wasn't so much better than Texas and didn't get taken by the CFP, Texas would not be in the Sugar Bowl. They'd be in the Alamo Bowl.
And?
But
there's
they
nothing
but,
wrong with that
so
fine bowl
I think,
game.
But the Big 12 has one of the best teams in the
that's
nation.
What I'm saying.
Sorry.
I think Texas,
Texas
should,
beat that team.
Texas people should be thanking Oklahoma for being so good, and now they get to go to the Sugar Bowl.
All right, let's talk about some bowls when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, we're going to talk about Renter's Warehouse, and we're going to talk about Rich Drake.
What?
Rich Drake and the people over at Renter's Warehouse are saying, come on, why are you living somewhere where you don't want to live? Or why are you trying to sell a house that you can't sell? Okay, how many instances, and you know somebody who could can't you can't possibly sell your home.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We had a guy. It took this guy over a year to sell his house in my house. He finally got it sold, and guess what they're doing now? Renovation. They've got to I don't even know what's going on. No one's even moved into the house yet. All I can think of is, oh, my gosh, is this guy still paying mortgage for this? Is he still going double mortgage? I mean, what a nightmare that would be, because I can tell you this much. At Renter's Warehouse, what they do is they make sure that you are going to get your house ready. First of all, get it ready to rent. They have carpenters and they have contractors who can get your house ready if there's issues with it. But the great thing is they are the professional landlords of Rent Estate, meaning they will market your property, they find you a price, and maybe better than that, they take care of all of your concerns after the renters step into the home. Make sure you go to renterswarehouse.com and find out what your house will rent for by going renterswarehouse.com or calling 713-224-RENT. That's 713-224-RENT.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.